Well, just ahead of this episode of Growing the Game with Ballsy, I just want to point out that you'll hear no music transitions here in this episode because, well, quite honestly, I misplaced my flash drive with all the music on it, so I'm in the process of updating my music library. So next episode will have new and improved music, okay? So for now, you'll just have to deal with a cold intro and extra and the interviews. So hopefully that doesn't turn you off. We got a great show in store. Hopefully you enjoy it, okay? Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Royal LePage, the home realty experts, and our friend Paul Waldo. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. And Wheel Estate, if you have a travel trailer you want to rent or rent one out, check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and all their rentals are backed by a $1 million insurance policy. Joining us on the phone, the aforementioned Paul Waldo. This is Ball and Paul on football. And I'll tell you what, the Rough Riders have got things turned around, Paul.
They sure have. This is a completely different light now that we were in, even just merely, 14, 15 days ago. And they're just finding ways to win football games. Tough ones against tough opponents that are playing with a big sense of urgency. So it's great to see.
I don't care what anybody says. Daron Carter was a cancer that was dragging everybody down. How do you feel?
Yeah, I agree. I still don't, dispute the fact that he's still one of the best playmakers in the CFL. His ability to play football was never, ever in question. But once again, it's all cost benefits. How productive is he being for you in with regards and in relation to the type of, headaches that he's going to cause? And, he outwore his welcome here, and it looks like the guys have picked up and I guess almost seems like they've come together more now, right? They've conformed and it just seems like it's more of a team atmosphere where you got different guys contributing and stepping up.
Tell you what, we talked about this in the past. Brendan Labatt's a tough SOB.
Oh yeah, there's no reason. There's no reason he's been playing in the league at such a high level for as long as he had. And he's really one of the very few guys that outlasted the old regime. And in my playing days, and there's a reason. There's a reason for it. And he's tough. He's gritty. He's incredibly smart. He's as good as it gets out there.
How do you feel about the Riders' offense now? We talked about Daron not being there, but how do you feel about it right now?
Yeah, I feel a lot better. Obviously, I feel a lot better about it now than we did a few weeks ago. And I think the interesting thing is you just have different guys stepping up and making plays. I think Trey Mason is really starting to emerge and come on. I think the potential that they had and envisioned in him and his ability to make plays is finally starting to come to light. I know for myself personally, I wasn't really all that high on him in the first few weeks. And then, you got guys like Devin Bailey making incredibly huge catches. Shaq Evans is a big one. William Lambert doing his thing. I think they had said that Zach Clarence had hit 7 or 8 different receivers within the first quarter and a half of the football game. So once again, you're distributing the ball more and different guys are having to step up and it just looks a lot more balanced.
There was no Paul Waldo football camp this year. I know you're hoping to resurrect it next year, but I'm sure one thing you always teach the young kids is never give up on a play. And boy, we saw that twice from Cresden Butler in the game. The tackle on Rainey, and really it saved 4 points for the Rough Riders there because the Lions got 3 instead of 7. And then in the back of the end zone, he doesn't give up on the play and pops the ball away from Ricky Collins. Those are two great plays.
Two great plays that a lot of players don't make. You got guys who've got incredible intangibles. They can cover and they can, tackle and they can do all those fun things. But to be able to not give up on the play, especially in the end zone, to be able to fight through that and make a play, once again, that's, you talk about 4 points on the Chris Rainey play where, dealing with him, he's a handful, and obviously to negate a touchdown in the end zone, that's huge. That's an 11-point swing, and they definitely don't win the game if Cresden Butler doesn't go in there and finish those plays.
Good move by Chris Jones, I think, too, putting Cresden Butler back on the roster. I know it comes at the expense of Jovan Johnson, and that's a tough pill to swallow for Johnson because it's not a commentary on his play. It's just the fact
that
Cresden Butler's too good to keep on the bench.
Absolutely. I think you knew that they were going to need a bit of a change and wanted to go younger once they had acquired Purifoy. And, he's a big body player who's experienced in the league. And once again, he's got some fresh legs and has been around. And then you bump Cresden Butler out there. And I think, once again, you might not have the experience that you would with a guy like Jovan Johnson, but you got guys that can run up and essentially can match up with different players. And that's what has really worked, I think, for Chris Jones the last 4 or 5 weeks. Even when Daron Carter was in the lineup, was that finally being able to match players on players in man-to-man situations and allowing them to win their one-on-one battles.
This is Paul Waldo. It's Paul and Ball on football, or Ball and Paul on football. I don't care. It's two guys talking football here. Yeah, thanks for tuning in here and growing the game with Ballsy. You know, Charleston Hughes, I never really appreciated him till I get to see him on a daily basis. The one thing I didn't appreciate or underestimated was his motor. He sure runs around the hoop, as they like to say, to get those sacks. He comes all the way around and doesn't stop till the whistle goes.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, listening to the guys on the panel, you know, Milt, Dunnigan, David Sanchez, they had mentioned the same thing, but what they had mentioned was he wasn't really known for having a motor when he was younger. They said it's been the last, you know, couple of seasons where he's starting to get older and he's really starting to mature and continuing, I guess, to make up for what he might not have in athletic ability. You know, and, you know, he's over 30 years old now, and he's still, I mean, he's more productive than any other defensive end or any other defensive player at that position in the league, and it goes to show when you're head and above heels higher than any other player.
Yeah, okay. And, Paul, you talked about the panel. Boy, they sure were hard on Matt Nichols. Nichols, who a couple weeks ago called out the Bomber fans for booing him, and then Mike O'Shea said he thinks they were booing him because he put Nichols back in the game. And then after the Calgary game this past weekend, he was asked about, you know, the game, and he said, well, I couldn't find anybody open. I was down to my fourth and fifth option. Yeah. So it sounded like he was throwing his receivers under the bus. The Blue Bombers look like they're imploding again.
They are. I mean, you can – that's the one thing I think they always feel like the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, despite all the talent that they have and, you know, the offensive coaching that they have and the schemes and stuff, they just, it almost seems like they're just not quite there for whatever reason. You know, we really felt the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season that they had finally turned a corner, and they were going to be the team that I think a lot of players and coaches expected in the field. But once again, especially when you have your quarterback essentially almost imploding, I think that's where it starts, right? Mm. You always got to look from the top down. You know, in my opinion, it's usually essentially your head coach, and then it's your quarterback, and then the rest of the team is the rest of the team. And to see him, you know, essentially, I guess, throw his guys under the bus, although I probably wasn't intentionally meant maliciously, but at the end of the day, it's 2 weeks. He's got to be a better pro, I think, and he's got to be able to just kind of, you know, deflect things onto himself and take the blame. That's why they make the big bucks, and that's why they touch the ball every play, is because they have the most impact. And so he's got to take that one on him.
I've always said he's average, and he had a great year last year, but he's back to being Matt Nichols again. I think this is as good as it gets, to be honest with you.
You know, it's tough with him because, you know, last year this time we were talking MLP race. I think myself and Mikey McCall on the panel there had talked about him being the front runner. I think he's always had the potential to be a greater and elite quarterback. Getting hurt in training camp early this year, I don't think helped him a whole lot, to be honest with you. It seems like he'd gotten back and, you know, he was decent the first couple of games, and he's kind of started to go downhill a little bit. But once again, when you're playing in the West and you're playing tough teams every week, you really got to find a way to stand tall. So hopefully he can you know pick his head up. I know him personally, and like I said, he's a good player. He's a good guy, but he's just got to handle himself better. And he's got to pull that team out of the rut that they're in right now.
Before we get to a deal here on the radar for Royal LePage, the Home Realty Experts, we started this interview by touching on Daron Carter. You've been with Mark Trestman. Now, Carter has played on 8 teams in his last 10 seasons going back to college and high school. That tells you there's a problem with one guy, and that'd be Daron Carter. Do you think that marriage can last?
You know what? It'll be interesting. I think it'll be I think he'll be on a short leash. You know, there's an expectation over there, and, you know, Jim Pop was the one that brought him into the league, so there's familiarity there. And then, you know, SJ Green was there as well when he first arrived in Montreal. So from a team and a coaching standpoint, I think he'll be pretty familiar. And you would hope that you know, getting released abruptly 2 weeks ago would humble him and hopefully knock a little bit of sense into him. I don't think he's going to last it very long. And the one thing about Mark Trestman is he is a no-nonsense kind of guy, and there's not one player that is bigger than the team. So, once again, it could be short-lived. You know, it could be a very short marriage, a quick separation or divorce, or it could be something that hopefully, you know, for his sake as a player, can mature and turn the corner.
It's like a guy having 5 wives. Once you get married once, so okay, you get married twice. After 3, man, there's a problem, and it's you.
Yeah, there's a common denominator there, and I think, you almost think to yourself sometimes, well, if you haven't gotten it by now, you're probably never going to get it. Let's hope he's the exception to that.
Yeah, okay. So lastly here, you got a deal for us there in the real estate game?
Sure do. Yeah. You know what? Got a new hot listing coming out in the Whitmore Park area, 21 Marsh Crescent. It's a four-level split, beautiful home, structurally incredibly sound. I'm really close to, you know, Grant Road and St. Matthew, so you got, you know, Catholic public elementary schools there. You got Campbell Collegiate down the road and LeBoldus as well, and they're close to South End amenities. You know, it's a 1,900 square foot four level split, great family home to raise kids. So look out, it'll be out on MLS actually sometime this afternoon. And once again, you can get a hold of me at 306-502-5355, or visit the home expert team. Social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, we'll have it all live and locked and loaded.
That's Paul and Ball and Football and Growing the Game with Ballsy. Thanks, Paul.
My pleasure, Ballsy. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, man.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
And this is Growing the Game, and we're joined now by University of Regina Rams running back Atlee Simon. How do we find you today, Mr. Simon, as we get ready for another season?
Good. Just exciting to get going.
Yeah, no kidding. Your last season in the league, do you have to kind of – is that shocking for you, or do you kind of have to pinch yourself that it's your last season?
No, absolutely. Thinking back of how fast it's gone by, it's a little scary, but I'm looking forward to one last drive.
Do you remember your first game with the Rams?
Yeah, I do. I do. We were playing UBC, and I played like two special teams, and it was a weird experience just sitting on the sideline and watching my teammates play, and it was at a whole different level than I could imagine from high school. So to see how far I've come in these four years is pretty cool.
So this Atlee Simon, if he was to give a piece of advice to young Atlee Simon starting out with the Rams, what piece of advice would you give young Atlee Simon?
Every time you step on the field, just play your hardest. And, you know, a lot of people want to be in your position. So every time you get the ball, every time you're willing to take a block, do it to the best of your ability.
What do you think your best attribute is, Atlee?
I would say my versatility as a running back, just to be able to run the ball effectively and catch the ball out of the backfield. I think by running, it's just a receiver and a running back is getting a lot better and something I want to keep developing.
What do you see from your backup, Kyle Borsa? Kyle's very quick. Once he gets the edge, he's gone. I found in the preseason game against Manitoba, he was a lot more patient in the hole. That's something you're good at. You let things develop. What kind of words do you impart to him?
Yeah, exactly just that. I've told him, man, he's one of the fastest people I've ever seen. And he tends to rely on that a little more than he should. And I've just been trying to work with him, just be patient through the mesh with the quarterback. You know, he doesn't have to rush because once he hits that hole, he's really explosive. So that's something he's been working on. He's going to be a really good player once he figures everything out.
So they've got two threats like you and Kyle, and I guess the key is to get you both on the field. I've heard the coaching staff talk about maybe using you in the slot a little more because of that versatility and having both you guys in the field at once. What do you think of that move if it comes about?
I think it's great. You know, the more athletes you can get on the field, the better, right? So I'm excited to be able to show my versatility in that sense and get Kyle some experience, because moving forward, he's going to be a big part of their offense. So the more touches he can get this year to prepare him for the years to come is going to be big. And I think I can really contribute to the team in the slot position as well.
What goals do you have this year for yourself individually? And then, of course, I think I know what the team goal would be, but what would an individual goal for yourself be? And then maybe morph that into the team goal.
You know, I think just being effective wherever I am on the field, you know, whether it's running the ball, whether it's being in the slot, whether it's playing a little more special teams this year. I think for myself, I just want to be effective, and every time I come off the field at the end of the game, I feel like I've done my job to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
And as a team goal, I think it's just to win. At the end of the day, I've gotten all those records, I think, that I've kind of set for myself when I came in as a rookie, in terms of rushing record and touchdown record. But now I just want to get past the first round of playoffs and see how far this team can go.
Take me back to training camp with the Calgary Stampeders. What was that like for you? What was it like for you to step on the field here at Mosaic Stadium in different colors and play? That must have been weird.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great experience. You know, I just tried to take everything in the minute I stepped into the locker room, you know, just seeing how to be a pro, looking up to the older guys. We had a lot of great guys in the running back room that I got to learn from. And even having Mark Mueller as a running back coach was cool, just to be able to have that familiarity and that face that I can relate to was big. And, you know, coming back home playing in Mosaic Stadium was an eye-opening. You don't realize how loud and how electric the stadium was, even as a preseason game on the sidelines. So it was a really cool experience, and I'm looking forward to be able to do that in years to come.
Even though they pronounced your name wrong and called you Simon Attlee. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
I did hear that. You know, I don't even know what to say with that.
Part of it is, aren't you like, man, I've played 4 years here with the Rams and set some records. You might want to know my name, hey?
Yeah, you think. It's all good.
Hey, so what did the Stampeders tell you? What do they like about your game, and what do they feel you got to work on?
My versatility, they really like. They want to see me running out of the slot a little more next year with them, which is one of the big reasons why I think it's really important for me to have a good season, playing a little bit more slot here this year with the Rams. And then they want to see me play a little more special teams and work on my blocking, on things that they need to work on. And that's something I'm going to put myself in position to do this year. And hopefully throughout the year I can show that I can do that effectively.
Have you been a big weight room guy? Because you're a natural athlete. Things have come to you naturally. Is that maybe one aspect mm-hmm. of your game or repertoire you want to increase? Because I hear that a lot from the young guys from CIS to the pros, that it's strength. Strength's a big component to, you know, the wear and tear in your body.
No, absolutely. I think that's something, you know, I've always been just like you said, a natural athlete. And it's something that I haven't always had to put as a priority, but definitely this next off season, it's going to be all getting in the weight room, getting bigger, getting stronger, because it's not technically the overall athleticism for me. That was the problem. It was maybe just like the strength and the speed that I had to adjust to, and putting myself in a better position that way going into next year's camp is going to be really important for me.
Speaking of measuring sticks and speaking of Calgary, you got the Dinos here this first week. They're always a tough matchup, but it's a good measuring stick for you guys. Is that how you look at it?
No, absolutely. Us 2 years, we beat them, and then we were in two really close games with them last year. So, you know, we're not worried about it. You know, we can't really have to go into that game knowing that they're a very good team, but knowing that we are too, and just go in there and compete.
Do you and Noah kind of take on more of a leadership role this year? It's you guys are kind of a Batman and Robin. I don't know who Batman is or who Robin is, but you guys are synonymous on that offense now. Do you take that leadership on a little more this year?
No, absolutely. I think I've always been more of a lead by example guy, and Noah's more of the guy that speaks out and encourages all the guys. So I think we go together well as co-captains on the offense, because we're two different personalities that different guys could connect to. So I think that's going to be important throughout the year. Just being able to be those leaders in the locker room and on the field and even off the field is going to be really important for us as a team to move forward and mesh correctly.
Guys graduate players as you do every year, and then you lost a couple guys in Daly and Nick Cross, of course. That's a couple big blows to your team. But overall, in your time here, how does this team rank in terms of depth and quality of talent going into a season in your time here?
I think it's up there for sure. We had a really good recruiting class. We had a lot of young guys coming out of high school and a couple of good junior players coming. So we're deep everywhere. It's going to be one of those next man up mentalities. There's a lot of competition through camp at every position, which has really pushed a lot of guys to get out of their comfort zone and realize that they don't always have everything easy coming to them. So I think that's really good for our team and the culture of the team. And I'm excited to see what some of these young guys can do coming on Friday.
I'm really looking forward to watching Atlee Simon from the broadcast booth again this season, and a couple more highlights before it's all said and done. And who knows, maybe a deep run into the playoffs. Thanks for this, Atlee.
No, I really appreciate it.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out online at wheelestate.ca, and by Paul Waldo, Royal LePage, the home realty experts. Give him a call if you want to get in the real estate game, 306-502-5355. Paul Waldo is an assistant coach with the U of S Huskies, and that's where we go now here as we preview the U Sport Can West Division. And we're talking with Kyle Siemens, quarterback of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. How are you today, Kyle?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for being on, my friend. And my son actually met you not that long ago. He's up touring the campus there, and he said, "Hey, that Kyle Siemens is a really good dude." Is that how you? Is that what you like to be remembered for? There, being a good leader, being a good dude, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's yeah. If someone remembers me that way, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, for sure. Do you take that seriously, being a leader?
Absolutely. I think you. Not only as a quarterback, I think just on kind of a fifth-year guy or vet, you kind of have to have that attitude to be a leader.
Yeah, where'd you learn that leadership from? Like, who gave you some of the leadership skills? I don't know if you can get leadership skills from somebody, but you kind of learn by osmosis. Who is a former teammate or coach that kind of, you know, you watched and learned stuff from?
Well, there's so many. It's hard to kind of to think some of the top of my head here, but I know probably when I got to Regina, the guy that I looked up to most was Asher Hastings and Landon Bessel, mm-hmm. and a lot of other guys on that team. And then when I came to the Huskies, it was more so kind of Drew Burko and Lawrence Nixon, who was one of my coaches at the time, but I got to watch him play, and then also just family members too.
Yeah, so let's rewind here. So you were a Saskatoon boy. You went to Regina here to play with the Thunder and then go to the U of S Huskies. How important was junior football in your development? Do you think that was a great move to get some reps before you went and played university football?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was the best decision that, for me at least, I don't think it is for everyone, but I think for a lot of guys it is. And yeah, for me, coming out of high school, I don't think I was fully grown in definitely wasn't ready for CIS level of competition. So that 2 years of getting more experience, getting more reps and learning systems with Stefan Ensign down there with the Thunder, and that was a great experience and very vital to me as developing as a quarterback.
Hey, what makes Stefan Ensign a good coach?
I really think he cares. In my time there, I really appreciated what he did for me and for the players, and you could just tell you he loved football and he loved the guys, and he put his heart into it, and that's something I really appreciated.
Kyle Siemens, quarterback, starting quarterback for the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Hey, Kyle, what do you like about football?
Oh, I think it's the greatest sport in the world. I think it brings people from across all different stages of life. I think it brings people together, and I think some great experiences can happen with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle Siemens joining us here from the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Do you remember your first game?
Like when?
Like a play or your first game? Because this is going to be your last home opener, so to speak, in your career. Do you remember your first game as the University of Saskatchewan Husky?
Oh, with the Huskies.
Yeah.
My first start was at home against the UBC Thunderbirds in our annual blackout game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pretty good one. I think we need to win one of the last two games, and so the second last game of the year, got to play UBC, and they eventually went on to win the Vandy Cup that year. So they were a pretty good team, and got to start that game and end up playing pretty well, but we didn't get the win, but it was still a pretty fun experience.
What's it mean to you to be a University of Saskatchewan Husky and a program where football really matters? I mean, you're kind of like the Riders up there. When you guys are firing on all cylinders, you're the biggest game in town.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you take a lot of pride in it, just being able to come here. You're kind of the talk of the town, and people really rally around it. And, it's a lot of fun, definitely, to play here.
Yeah, for sure. Kyle, in terms of last year, you guys didn't have a great year on the field at 2-6, but you had a good year statistically. Just go back to last year. You know, maybe assess your play last year and then the team's play, because I know as a quarterback, wins and losses are what matters to you.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You know, those stats, I don't really look into them a lot, but I think they can tell you a lot about how your team's doing and what's going right and what's going wrong. And I think it says those numbers, I think it says a lot about my receiving core and about a lot of the guys around me, and just being able to get the ball into their hands. A lot of the yards I got was me throwing a five yard throw, and someone turned it into a big play. So it speaks volumes about the playmakers I have around me, and also the offensive. Like, yeah, I can talk about more. You know, I could talk about my teammates a lot more.
That's what makes you a good leader. Yeah, you look at your team here and assess your offensive talent going in here this year. You guys had a good recruiting class. I'm hearing you got a pretty good offensive line, and I hear you got a lot of diversity in that running back backfield.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting what we got coming up the pipeline here. But, yeah, our offensive line got another year of experience under their belt. We're liking what they've done in the offseason. They're looking pretty good. And then, yeah, there's some offensive playmakers just in our backfield. I think we can just give the ball to any number of guys, and they're ready to go get a big play for us and also help in the protection scheme. So that's just super awesome. And then our receivers are kind of a young group, but they're ready to step up and make plays.
How about a guy like Sam Baker? He seems to be the guy that when you're talking about your receiving core that people kind of gravitate to. I know Clausen's a guy that rotates between, you know, the slot back position and the running back position, but Sam Baker's turned into maybe, I don't want to say the next Mitch Hillis, because those are some pretty big shoes to fill, but he might be the heir apparent eventually down the line.
Yeah, Sam, he's definitely a big body, and he's got a lot of speed and a lot of talent, actually. We're excited to see what he can do, and we're sure that he's going to have a good year this year.
You know, your team has the best quarterbacking situation, I think, in the conference, 1A and 1B, I like to say, you being 1A and Mason Nice being 1B. How's that relationship been for you?
Oh, it's been great. Love Mason a lot, just on and off the field. He's a great dude, and me and him work together, have a good working relationship where we just push each other to be the best that we can be, and we have a lot of fun with it. So, you're not wrong in saying 1A, 1B.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? I mean, a lot of guys would be threatened to have a young guy that's really, Mason's been good at everything he's done in his career coming up, and we know what you can do. You're a great quarterback. A lot of guys would feel threatened. How do you feel?
I feel like people can look at it a couple different ways. I feel like they can be threatened and let that kind of affect him, but I just see it as he's pushing me to be the best that I can be, and I'm pushing him, and so I'm just taking it as, I need to come out every day and work hard and do the best that I can to make sure I keep my job and keep that hold in the spot. But he's pushing for it, and that's awesome to see. And no matter what happens, I'm just excited for this team and whatever happens to me. It doesn't really matter. I know that we have a capable backup, and I'm excited for that.
How do you want your career to be remembered, Kyle Siemens, at the University of Saskatchewan Huskies? You still got this season to go, and who knows, could be a playoff run. You never know. Although a lot of people aren't picking you guys to do that well this year, but we'll talk about that in a second. How do you want Kyle Siemens to be remembered as a University of Saskatchewan Husky?
Obviously, I think every quarterback and every leader would say they want to be remembered as kind of the winners, and so definitely that. I want to go down as getting some wins, but I know that's kind of been tough in the past, and we're hoping to change that this year. But within perspective with my teammates, I think I just want to be remembered as a good leader and as a good friend. So that's a goal within the locker room for sure. But on the outside, yeah, just to make sure you get those wins.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, how's the team changed under Scott Flory, at least offensively? Because you had Marcus Crandley, he's gone to Calgary now, so Scott Flory's taken over the offense. How's that? Has there been a big change?
Not really. I think it's kind of been a pretty smooth transition. I think Coach Flory brings a lot of knowledge to the offense, and he's going to put us in positions to make plays, and we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, okay, and you got to be excited. How special for you is a home opener at home against Alberta to kick off the season? That's got to be special in your last year. Have you had a time to really sit and reflect yet on 5 years, going into your fifth year?
No, not too much, honestly. It's kind of been a quick off season. The season's come up pretty fast here. I haven't really had a lot of time to sit down and think about it, and I'm sure I will probably more at the end of the season.
I'm going to ask you a question that I asked Atlee Simon here just before I talk to you. What would, because he's entering his final year at the Rams, what would Kyle Siemens now, this Kyle Siemens, what kind of advice would you give Kyle Siemens, the quarterback that was just coming to the U of S Huskies program? If you could give him a heads up about something, what would you tell him?
Oh, that is a tough question. I think I'll just tell him to enjoy it even more. I think I have done a good job of enjoying it, trying to fully embrace everything that's come my way, I guess, through these past 5 years, but to even do it more and to never pass up opportunities, spend time with your teammates, and and do that, and always come to the field ready to work and be your best.
Awesome piece of advice. Hey, how do you handle, you're a student athlete, and it's different for a quarterback than any other guy on that football team, because you got to know a thick playbook, you got to know what everybody else is doing, plus you got to know what you're doing in school. By the way, what do you take in school?
Kinesiology.
Is that what are your plans after this season? Do you want to continue your football career? Do you want to coach? Do you want to get into kinesiology? What are your plans?
I'll probably graduate and then apply for a couple different colleges, kind of in the health-related field. Oh. So we'll see.
Excellent. Okay, so where I was going with this is, you're a kinesiology student, you're the quarterback, you're the face of the team, you got all these responsibilities on and off the field. How do you handle stress? What do you do to relieve stress?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, a lot can get thrown your way, and thankfully I've got a lot of good support systems around me. I got an awesome family and an awesome friend who, don't really care whether I'm a football player or not. To be honest, I think they definitely support me and love that I play football, but they're friends with me for just the guy who I am. So I think that's just having a balance and having the good support people around you, I think, definitely helps.
Kyle Siemens, one other quick question for you. So your football team isn't picked by many. They just did a coaches poll, and you guys are picked, like, right, I think, 2-6 in this conference. I don't know how much stock we put into polls, but do you guys use that as bulletin board material? Do you see that stuff? Do you guys, I don't want to say focus on that stuff, but do you use that to kind of fuel the fire, so to speak?
Yeah, I don't know if it's like you said, I don't think it's bulletin board material. I think people definitely notice it. They definitely kind of put in the back of their mind, and they always have it there for the rest of the season. But, I think we have tremendous belief in ourselves, and we think we can do a lot of good things this year, and so that's really all that matters to us.
Okay, so finish the sentence for me, and we'll wrap this interview up, okay? The University of Saskatchewan Huskies will have a winning season if...
We take care of the things that we can control, do our jobs.
Excellent. That's Kyle Siemens, the quarterback of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies. Thanks for this, Kyle, and we're looking forward to watching you this season.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
This week on Where Are They Now, we go back to 1989, a famous play in Rough Rider history from a guy who really wasn't used as much as he should have been, but when he was used, he came through big time. This week, we talk with former Canadian running back, number 35, Brian Walling, as we go back to the 1989 semifinal versus the Calgary Stampeders and his late-game heroics.
You know, it's really nice to be remembered, and it's in times like these, you know, right before the Grey Cup, that you just sort of sit back and reminisce, you know. But it's great. It was a great moment in time, and, every time the Grey Cup is played, you know, you just sort of sit back and you think about the friends that you made during those years and all the good times and the good wins.
What do you remember in particular about that game in 1989? I remember it. I wasn't there, but watching it on TV, it looked real. Actually, to be honest with you, I watched a little bit on TV in Winnipeg. We were at a family function, and I remember driving back, cold prairie evening, listening to CKRM, actually, and Jeff Currier on the call, and your long touchdown run. What do you remember about that game and that play?
Well, about the game, I just remember that we had a... just a very positive attitude. Like, we just really felt that we could win. And despite the seesaw battle, you know, exchanging leads, we just, you know, didn't give up. And I just remember looking right before that play, looking up and down the bench before I went on. And I just thought, nobody's head's hanging down. Nobody's given up. And I just thought, we can win this. And, you know, just fortunately enough that, Coach Gregory, you know, gave me the call, and it was a perfect play. And I just remember getting a nice spring block and, you know, taking off to the end zone.
Yeah, now, of course, Tim McCray was, I believe, the main running back at that time in terms of getting the bulk of the carries. So was that a special substitution package where you come in for that draw play?
No, I wouldn't say that it was a special substitution. It was more, you know, to keep the guys fresh, you know, and just Coach Gregory had confidence in me. Just, you know, didn't matter what time of the game it was, and it was just a matter of keeping a rotation going. And, you know, just fortunately they called my number, and fortunately we, I guess Calgary had a blitz on at the time, and it was just literally the perfect play call. You know, so it was just perfect play, a perfect moment.
Do you remember, I've never actually asked an athlete this, and I've played not at the level you did, but I played junior football, and you score a touchdown or two. I don't know if anything really goes through your mind, but as you're running down the sidelines, West semifinal, 9-9 team, what's going through your head, or what went through your head after you scored that big touchdown?
You know, it was kind of weird, because when I got into the end zone, I just sort of remember dropping down on my knees to just sort of thank God. And then next thing you know, there's guys that just piled on me. So it was just like, you know, as I was running down, I just literally just thought, keep the knees high and just, you know, go full speed. And just I thought, even if somebody did catch me from behind, you know, we were in field goal position. And, you know, basically, because that's all the play was designed to actually do, was actually to get us into the center of the field and get us a little bit closer to score the winning field goal. But it turned out that we got the winning touchdown. So as I was running down into the end zone, all I was thinking about is just, you know, keeping the knees high and holding tight onto the ball to make sure that nobody knocked it out or, you know, caused the fumble, because that would have been catastrophic.
You were a guy that probably didn't get the carries that maybe you should have, just in terms of where you were at certain points of your career in the CFL and the teams and the personnel on those teams. So let me ask you this, Brian Walling. Do you like being remembered for one real play? I guess it's better than being Bill Buckner and the ball go through your legs in the 86 World Series. It's nice to be on this side of the coin, but do you enjoy that?
You know, it is nice to be remembered, and I see that the CFL is changing. There's now Canadians that are starting and leading the league in rushing. And, you know, back in the day, it was a rarity. The tailback was an American position, and it was well known that Canadians would back up those American positions. And, you know, the CFL has slowly changed and evolved, and they realize that they're going to look at the players first and not the flag on their chest. And I think that that's an evolution that it's really nice to see.
The Canadian running back position, though, if you can have guys like that, a guy like Brian Walling who gets a shot, that can be a real ratio buster, a real swing in momentum for that particular football team.
Yeah, you know, when you say swing in momentum, are you referring to just the fact that these guys have been given the opportunity, and is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, that and uncharacteristically, we talk about it, you're not really used to having a Canadian excel or giving him a chance to excel at that tailback spot. So now maybe you could do something different with a big import on your line, or another speedy wide receiver or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. That is definitely an option for the coaches now. And, you know, back in the day, like, I tried out with the Miami Dolphins in 87. And, you know, I remember reading the newspaper articles and, you know, seeing people, reporters saying that I wouldn't last, you know, more than a week. And not only did I go down there for their mini camp, but I was down there for the 8 weeks of their main camp and got released the last day. And when I came into the CFL, I was left with the impression that Canadians have to prove that they can play. Americans at the tailback position have to prove that they can't. And slowly over time, the mindset has changed, where you're starting to see Canadian tailbacks in starting, you know, positions. And it is giving the coaches more flexibility to use somebody in another position and just overall strengthen the team. And instead of having a bias approach where, you know, the Canadian is going to be underutilized. Like, I felt that I was underutilized. You know, I had some big games throughout my careers, even, sadly to say, against the Riders. Mm-hmm. The very next year, I think I had something like 40 or 50 yards rushing and receiving against the Riders. You know, and when somebody's capable of doing that, you know, what is it? Is it they're not given enough opportunity, or is that a once-in-a-blue-moon thing? And for me, it was not being given enough opportunities. But, you know, I'm not looking back on things with any sort of bad blood. It was the way things were at the times. But it's, you know, again, very nice to see that the CFL is evolving. It's giving guys, Canadian guys, a crack at starting position at the tailback. And I think that all in all, it probably is in some way solidifying the team and making it stronger.
The title of this is Where Are They Now? So what are you doing now, Brian Walling?
I'm an investment advisor and certified financial planner with Dundee Wealth here in Edmonton.
All right, so well spoken. Are you involved? Of course, you're a former Eskimo. I know a lot of guys hanging around there are involved in the alumni part of the Eskimos organization. Are you interwoven there?
Yes, I had been for years. I think I joined the alumni, I was on the board of directors, a year or two after I retired. And I pretty much was on the board straight through until about 2 years ago. And strangely enough, I had to step down off of the board just because there's a community fund, and I manage half of the money for the community fund, basically money raised from charities that we deploy in scholarships and other sort of needy purposes throughout the community. Our compliance department just thought it'd be a conflict of interest if I'm on the board and making you're providing investment advice. So, but I'm still involved, and I still try to keep in touch with the guys as much as I can.
That's Brian Walling in our Where Are They Now segment. And this is the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Wheel Estate. Check them out at wheelestate.ca for your travel trailer rental needs, or if you'd like to rent out a travel trailer. And for your real estate needs, check out Paul Waldo here in Regina with the Royal LePage Home Realty Experts. Give him a call, 306-502-5355. I'm joined now by Melville's own John Svensson. How are you today, John?
Great, Ballsy. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Things are cooking down there. Now, originally, it was the Melville Vipers and Moosomin playing each other in female football, grade 7 to 12. But we've expanded the league now, Yorkton and Regina. How exciting is that?
It's an amazing thing to have happen in the province. I mean, women's football is growing, and so we're seeing that this fall with an addition of a couple more teams.
What do you credit that growth to, John?
I think just having a little bit more exposure to the riot and the Valkyries and things happening. I know in 2016 when they held the national championships in Regina, I think that was sort of a catalyst to get some girls thinking about football as an option for them.
John, in terms of the Valkyries and the riot and everything in the off season, like you guys played in the spring with Moosomin, but did you hold any camp stuff? I think you did hold camps, didn't you? Like I thought Olivier Eddy, who's now moved on to the Thunder, did he not come out to that area and help you guys out?
Yes, he did. He actually came to Melville when we were practicing indoors with snow on the ground, and I know he did set up some things in Moosomin as well. So we've had nothing but support from the riot. I mean, albeit they're close to us in the south here.
Yeah.
And we have nothing but support from both of the programs in the province.
So what do the girls tell you they like about football? Like, why is this a turn on for them? We talked about maybe why, you know, had the theory as to why it's grown because of the women's program and the national championship here. But why do you think girls, or what have they told you, why do they like the sport?
Well, at the end of the season, there was a lot of tears. They didn't want it to end. They came together as a family, and we're able to do something that no one has done before as far as having an opportunity to play a minor football game as a female team and their own entity. And they thought that was pretty cool. And some of the relationships they made and just able to do things that they didn't think they were capable of doing, which is pretty cool.
So it's Regina, it's Yorkton, it's Moosomin, it's Melville. What are we looking at, a four-game season here, and when does it start?
Well, we're starting next week. We play Moosomin in Moosomin, I believe it's the 6th, and then we play on a weekly basis from there on in. We play Yorkton on the 17th, and then we end up playing back-to-back against Regina the last two Sundays in September, and that's the season.
Yeah, the Victoria is a team coached by Ryan Hall, a couple of my cousins actually on that team, so that'll be interesting. Give me something else to go out and watch, have little family ties. Just talk about how big an undertaking this is for the city of Melville to get behind and support something like this. Did you have to get a lot of sponsors on board? Maybe you want to give a few shout-outs.
Well, as far as sponsorship, we've basically run it through Melville Minor Football, which is an association that began a number of years ago to sort of keep up with what's happening football-wise in the province. And we've had nothing but support from the community and Melville Comprehensive School. I mean, they give us a place to store our equipment, a place to play, a place to change. You know, we're an entity outside the school, so to have that support from the Melville Comprehensive School and the Good Spirit School Division is something that we couldn't do what we do without them. And we're just looking at sponsors to try and get our female profile up and running and where it should be. And there's lots of folks that have come forward to say they can help in this way or that way, and which is phenomenal. So it's we're sort of in our infancy, and we're looking to grow this bigger and better as the years go by.
Because you're in your infancy, John Svensson, how big's your coaching staff? How big's your roster?
Our roster right now is 24 girls, and we're hoping to gain a couple more. Like I said, once school begins in a week's time, we're hoping that we get a few more. Our coaching staff, we've had nothing but support and people wanting to be a part of this program. So a lot of our former players have come on board and taken significant roles in running the team. Dallin Fendelay, our former quarterback from 2 years ago, he's our offensive coordinator. He's done a great job with the girls. And, you know, Trish Sylvester, a former Riot player herself, is out there. And actually, we recruited her to coach our boys team, too.
Cool.
So she's doing kind of double duty. And so we've kind of grown from three or four or five coaches to around 10, 11, 12 coaches, depending on how the commitment level from all the coaches can happen for us. So we also had some inquiries from the firefighter school with former Regina Thunder players. So there's a lot of buzz in town around football, and it's good to see about a dozen coaches out helping us out.
So is it 9-woman football? Is it a basic 12-woman game? What is it?
It's nine. We play nine on nine, and it's basically the same as our high school program out here with a smaller high school. That's what we play.
Yep.
So it's something that is, you know, well in our grasp as far as knowledge goes, and what we do as far as schemes is not much different than what we would do with the high school boys team.
Well, John will be watching eagerly, or I will be watching eagerly, and we'll try to promote your sport and your team as much as we can. Thanks for this.
Right on, Baldy. Thanks for all the work you do with football around the province.
Well, thanks to all my guests for joining me on Growing the Game with Ballsy, episode 46. And episode 47 will have new music. I plan to spruce things up. So just to consider it, new and improved episode 47 coming up very soon. If you'd like me to follow a story idea, please contact me at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. You can also reach me at that same email if you'd like to sponsor this podcast and help us continue to grow the game of football in this province at the amateur level and highlight our local athletes. Also, you can hear me every pregame show, Rough Rider Game Day, across the Rough Riders Radio Network on 620 CKRM and the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable following the game with our panelists like Mike McCullough, Paul Waldo, and of course, Chris Bess, as we'll take your calls after the Rider games. And you can hear me each morning on 104.9 The Wolf FM in Regina, 6 to 10 a.m. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.